This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kennison and Noel Lim. 7:07 a.m, Thursday the 5th of November, and in about 15 minutes we'll be speaking with Kwan Wilson, partner at Lim Chee Wee Partnership, on the proposals to amend the occupational safety and health laws in the country. We're also running a poll on the BFM Twitter account asking you, should parties compromise on their principles in order to achieve consensus on the budget? Let us know what you think. We've had about 50 votes so far, haven't we?
Yes, right now 38% saying yes, we need unity. 21% say no, principles matter. 35% say it's complicated. And 6% say, does it matter?
Yes, it's quite a mixed result so far. So we're going to be taking a close look at that throughout the morning. But right now, we're looking at how the markets have performed.
Well, the US markets have done well. The Dow closed up 1.3%. S&P 500 closed up 2.2%. NASDAQ closed up 3.9%. While, you know, it's a very nail-biting elections that we are facing. And despite quite a close race, the volatility index actually plunged, I think something like 17% to close below 30 for the first time in almost 2 weeks. I wonder what the markets know that we don't know yet.
Isn't that always the case? In Asia, Japan was up 1.7% over yesterday at the close, where else the rest of the region, if we take a look at Shanghai, closed up 0.2%. Hong Kong was up 0.2%. Hong Kong closed down 0.2%. And Singapore was down 0.2%. Singapore was up 0.8%.
And to help us unpack this further is Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, thank you for joining us this morning. Now, given how the US election results are positioned, how do you think global equities will perform today? Will there be a headline tide that lifts all boats or bring all of them lower instead?
I mean, that's a good question. And you know, I'll steal your phrase. What markets know that we don't know. I love the way you phrased it. And I think to repass it, right, maybe it's what markets are happy not knowing. And that's where the distinction is. Initially, we assumed that markets would be very unhappy not knowing. And so the uncertainty would drive markets nuts and they'll all sell. But I think at this moment, if we look at what European equities did, European equities seem to have leaned towards a Biden victory that would lead to less abrasive foreign policy or trade policies with Europe. And I think likewise, US equities are also leaning that way, but with a very small but important distinction. And that is, I think they're betting that the Senate will not flip. So a lot of those misgivings about a rollback of tax cuts or the tightening of regulations, whether it's for tech or for energy, may not be pushed through. And I think this is one reason why we have seen this big rotation back into tech, because they see that, you know, the COVID situation is going to remain, but maybe regulations will not tighten. And I think that seems to be the state of play, and the big caveat and the operative one is for now, because as you rightly pointed out, it's a nail biter. Nothing is nailed yet.
The Fed, we know, is fairly independent, but it looks like we are leaning towards a Biden win. I don't want to jinx it, but anyway, where do you think the interest rates will go as the FOMC meets today?
That's a very good question. I think today's answer would be easier for me, but the Fed's outlook is slightly tougher. Today, I think they'll do nothing. Reason being, I think they've done enough front-loaded. They still want to keep the incentive for fiscal stimulus to come through, and they really don't want to add to the noise and the lack of clarity, add to the opacity around the presidential elections as is. And you're absolutely right. The Fed is independent, but they're not nonchalant. So depending on the outcomes, they will have to respond to some extent. And this is where I think if we don't get a big fiscal stimulus because of the gridlock in Congress, and despite equity seeing it as Goldilocks rather than gridlock, the gridlock will be for the real economy. And so going forward into 2021, we may see a lot more stimulus, maybe as early as by end of this year, if the fiscal stimulus doesn't come through.
Vishnu, let's come back closer to Malaysia here. Now, based on the rosier manufacturing PMI numbers coming out of Singapore, what's behind that? Is it China's growth or something else helping the country recover from its slump?
Thank you, Roshan. You always help me answer my questions. In case I was struggling for the answer, I found part of it. That's definitely China is helping. And in fact, the forward-looking indicator suggests that China will continue to help with that. But we have to bear in mind that the rosier numbers are in the rearview mirror. We haven't seen the full impact of the second wave in Europe and third wave in the US coming through. So these things will come through with a lag. And at the levels of recovery, I mean, it's still an expansion, but at the levels of recovery, we're still not at pre-COVID levels. So there's no, you know, there isn't even any consideration of about breaking out the champagne. We're nowhere close to that.
So Vishnu, what do you make of the delay of Ant's IPO? Does it dent the Hong Kong and Shanghai's ambitions to be an alternative listing destinations of large Chinese companies, as well as even potentially a serious contender to Wall Street?
I think it does tell us that, the commingling of political and regulatory risks remain fairly high. And sometimes we are quick to see through that or overlook it. And I think that tells us that, you know, there is going to be no near-term game changer in terms of what are considered the dominant markets on a global perspective. Until we get some comfort around visibility around such risks to do with regulations and you know, some of the political elements of it.
Vishnu, while we're talking about the commingling of politics and markets, let's talk about OPEC and oil. Do you think the intended relaxation of OPEC plus production cuts in January are now in doubt? And how are geopolitical, along with the supply concerns, affecting discussions on this issue?
I think markets have no doubt that it is in doubt, which is why we saw that very, very sweep, you know, squeeze up in oil prices. And I think the reality is, I think geopolitics definitely will play a large part insofar that if Russia desires it, I think Saudi will want to play along in this case, especially because of something far larger than geopolitics, and that is the virus. The second, third wave, I think, will be the decisive catalyst, even without the political capital for OPEC Plus to manoeuvre to defer the relaxation of the quotas.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Vishnu. That was Vishnu Varathan at Mizuho Bank in Singapore, giving us a perspective on global markets, including the Ant IPO, which has been delayed in both Hong Kong and Shanghai. And as Vishnu said, I think there is still a lot more visibility that needs to happen around the decision. I think there's a lot of confusion over what's going to happen on the regulatory front. And it looks like a source also told Bloomberg that authorities have set their sights on Ant's biggest source of revenue, in other words, its credit platforms that funnel loans from banks and other financial institutions to millions of consumers across China.
Yes, so the microcredit lending business is the largest for them, and this is where it provides a credit platform that funnels loans from banks and other financial institutions to millions of consumers across China. So I think what are the new regulations and what would that entail, right? I think one of it is a more stringent need for, you know, a call for platform operators to provide at least 30% of the funding for loans, which would render many of Ant's existing transactions non-compliant. So Ant will have to work towards this and to figure out how it's going to change its operations. So it's not a simple matter of, you know, changing their disclosures or disclosing more things. They may actually have to make some fundamental changes to their business model.
Yeah, and this will have implications on its valuation, how investors look at them, right? Because are they being regulated as a bank or as a tech company? Do the valuations need to change in accordance to that? And the bigger issue here is that, especially for international investors, is that, well, I mean, almost 90% of their revenues are generated within China itself. So when the Chinese government or the regulators sneeze, they're going to catch a really bad flu. So how this impacts them and how does this impact Jack Ma's ambition? How is this going to impact Alibaba as well? Alibaba owns a third of Ant Group. Is this, has the optimism around Ant Group been priced into Alibaba as well? All questions that we don't have the answers to right now, but definitely things that we are going to be paying attention to.
We are indeed. But right now, we are also turning our attention to another tech story. In fact, Qualcomm, which is one of the biggest chip makers, as well as a beneficiary of the shift to 5G, their latest sales and earnings beat street expectations. Revenue for the quarter came in at $8.3 billion versus the $5.9 estimated. It also provided guidance for the next quarter, so expecting revenue of between 7 $7.8 and $8.6 billion.
Yeah, so the upbeat forecasts do suggest that new 5G wireless networks are persuading consumers to upgrade their smartphones. So Qualcomm has pushed to be the first to release 5G components in attempts to regain market share it lost in the 4G race. Qualcomm also aims to get the bulk of its profit from licensing patents that cover the fundamentals of modern phone systems.
Yeah, chips run everything, right? Everything from your fridge to your phone to your TV has some form of chip in it. As we see 5G, as 5G come into play, everyone's going to want to get a piece of that. And how the Internet of Things really booms after this, because if you can connect everything to the internet using 5G, which has better bandwidth and better ability to hold up infrastructure wirelessly, we're going to see how things. We're going to see more optimism around chips, right? But Qualcomm isn't the only game in town. We've got NVIDIA, we've got Intel, we've got all the different chip makers really seeing that, wanting to get, seeing positivity around them. But I'm particularly curious to see how Apple producing its own chips, and I think next week they're going to be announcing the first lineup of Macs with ARM chips in them, how that impacts chip makers like Intel in the longer run.
Yeah, so this is the 5G story is one that we are going to be watching very closely as developments occur. Pushed on by, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic as well. But right now, we're about to head into some messages. And then up next, we're speaking with Kwan Wilson, partner at Lim Chee Wee Partnership, on the proposed amendments to the Occupational Safety and Health Act and how this could impact businesses. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.